Thanks, Greg. Yes, we're here with conductor Fabio Luisi. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
This is a very beautiful program. Last season you were here with Glinka and Tchaikovsky.
Right.
And this program also begins with an overture to an opera, which in the opera introduces different themes and different events that might happen in the opera. How does it function in this program?
Well, the Weber is an introduction of German romantic. It's one of the first romantic composers of the German music, and it is a very beautiful introduction to the Beethoven concerto, which is in the same, in the same style, in the same age. A little bit different if we speak about César Franck, which has been told as being the most German about the French composers. He was Belgian, actually. And he was a big admirer of the German musical tradition. And all his works for organ, especially for orchestra and some oratorio and piano pieces, very much oriented, very much aimed to be a continuation of the romantic German music, although he was French-speaking. But because of this, we have a beautiful complementarity about his French spirit somehow, but a German mind.
Each of these pieces, I noticed, was written toward the end of some period in the composer's life. Weber wrote this the year before he died. Beethoven wrote his piano concerto as he was losing his hearing, and it was the last piece he wrote for himself to perform. And then the Franck, he wrote this piece towards the end of his life. He waited a very long time to write a symphony. Why was that?
He was a master of small pieces, or smaller pieces, let's say. And of course he had a huge respect towards the great composers of symphonies in his century. In that time, there were Schumann, there were Brahms, there were Beethoven, of course. And so I think he waited before he didn't feel ready for a big orchestra symphony. And that's good for us, because he made us a big present. This is a great symphony. It's one of the most beautiful symphony ever written in the Romantic period.
When did you first conduct it?
Oh, I conducted it many, many years ago, the first time. But I loved this symphony already when I was a student. So I have to say, this symphony has been played very often many years ago. So 20, 25, 30 years ago. And now there are not so many conductors who approach this this symphony again. I don't know why, because it's such a great piece of music, and I know that all orchestras love this symphony, but not so many conductors, apparently. I do.
There are a great deal of colors in it. Franck made his career as a pianist and an organist. Can you hear the organ influence in this symphony?
Absolutely. I think the organ was the main instrument of this composer, and he loved organ. And actually, Franck is very well known in his organ pieces and in some of his piano pieces for these chromatisms he uses. So many, many different tunes, many different changement of tune made beautifully. And in this symphony, you can hear this as well, especially in the introduction of the first movement, a slow introduction, a little bit like in Weber in the first part of today's concert. And a beautiful movement is for me the second movement, which is very original, with two important solis of English horn and harp, which is an unusual instrument in the romantic symphonic music of that time, but very well used in this symphony in order to make a different color, a very peaceful and very romantic soft color. The third movement is really something extremely passionate and so.
We talked before about the way music can evoke colors in your mind. Does this symphony have any particular colors?
This is a very good question. Yes, this symphony for me is red and brown, but the second movement is something green. It's very fresh.
And that's just an association you're making. Are you actually seeing those colors?
I'm not seeing the colors. I have to think about it. But if you ask me, now I see the colors.
And when you rehearse with an orchestra, what is your approach? I know when you conduct, you have to communicate with gestures, but do you talk about the piece with the orchestra beforehand?
I don't talk much during the rehearsals. I only talk if it is really necessary to explain something or, technical things they need to know, how and what I wish. And musically, I tend not to say what I want. They have to understand from my body language, which is the kind of communication a conductor actually has with his orchestras. Nevertheless, sometimes you have to explain verbally some emotions or what I need in terms of phrasing, in terms of colors. This is important.
Are there certain things that you bring out with an orchestra like the Philadelphia Orchestra?
With Philadelphia Orchestra, we can bring out everything you want because they are very sensitive, they are very quick in understanding and also quick in doing it, what you explain or what you show. And this is heaven for me. It's wonderful because I know they don't have limits, so they can do anything you ask them to do. There is no limit, not technically and not musically. For a conductor, it is a dream to be here.
Is there a particular message from the composer, you think, in this symphony? There's no program. Is there a particular emotion?
I think it is a joyful symphony. It's a symphony of hope and joy. There are moments of reflection, of course, but the result of all this is a big joy and enthusiasm.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. We look forward to the second half in the Franck Symphony.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.